Hare Krishna. Any questions from anyone? You're hiding behind Shalomani.
You should bring such Maharaj. She wants you to tell us something about the initiations which will be in future, like to explain the substance.
Well, the last time I spoke, I made this point about Guru Maharaj saying to putting yourself under the guidance of a superior Vaishnava. I'm speaking directly. So that what he's saying is the overall consideration is like in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna, he's telling Krishna, Sishas teham sarimam tvam prapanam. He has his own estimation about the world and what is his place in it and what he should do. And then he decides to transfer to Krishna, that to go from relative perception to absolute perception. So he says, Sishas, I'm becoming your Sisha, now I'm going to take direction from you how I should proceed in these circumstances. It's also mentioned, Guru Maharaj like to quote Jiva Goswami saying, Dibyam Gyanam Yato Dadyat Kuryat Papa Shashamshayam. So what happens in this process? Divyam Gyanam, divine knowledge, is transferred from the heart of the guru disciple, and they become free from sinfulness. What does that mean more specifically? Guru Maharaj is saying that the mind is the seat of sinful activity. Because we'll say, well, so many things have been done in the past. They're going to be transferred to the guru, all the sinful reactions. And Guru Maharaj said, not exactly like that. He said, but when a doctor, and then he'll suffer, from one point of view, but he described it more specifically like this. When a doctor takes on the case of a patient, and the patient says, oh, I'm suffering in this way, and I'm suffering from this and that. He said, then, out of sympathy or empathy for the patient, the doctor's suffering in a sense, but not literally. Right? He's sympathetic, empathetic to his situation.
Mark, can I just make a suggestion? Mm-hmm. I think in this crowd there's two people who can understand English, like tonight, because Kirti does not even translate for those
guys.
Yes.
So maybe
Kirti
Dara or maybe come on.
If you need to struggle. Kirti
Dara. No, you, but you can also maybe translate.
He can translate what I'm saying into Australian, but I don't think but I don't know if he can translate it into Ruski.
Which might all 4.5 words that I know of Russian.
So then what should I
do? I mean, heart-to-heart transactions.
Yes. Well, on heart-to-heart, that's also in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the famous sloka, Janmadyasya Yatonvaya Yitarata. She will now translate? Okay. That's where that, well, we can say where it comes from. It says, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyante Yatsuraya. So, Tene Brahma Hrida. Adikavi, that means, that Brahma is not Brahma, the Adikavi means Brahma. But saying, so was transferred, like in Brahma Samhita, we'll say, from Saraswati to Brahma, the Gayatri Mantra. But again, we come back to conceptualization. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Brahmanda Brahmite says, wandering the length and breadth of the universe. But what is the universe? There's what it appears to be objectively, and what is the universe subjectively? Conceptually. Conceptually, the universe is different planes or layers of misconception. That's what the universe is. It's the world, in a phrase, it's the world of misconception. It's the world of exploitation. And within that, it goes from gross levels of misconception and exploitation to more subtle and refined levels of misconception and exploitation. So in this explanation, Mahaprabhu is telling Rupa Goswami, a fortunate soul who's wandering the length and breadth of this universe, from gross levels of misconception and exploitation to subtle and finer ones in the up and the higher planetary system, a fortunate person comes in connection with the agent of divinity. This is also echoed in the Ramananda Sambhad, when Mahaprabhu is asking the questions and Ramananda Roy is giving the answers. And every time Mahaprabhu poses a question and Ramananda gives an answer, Mahaprabhu goes, Iho Bahya Agi, that's external. Say something more. And they go through a sequence until Mahaprabhu goes, Iho Hoy. Like, this I accept. This is the first contact point, access point, with reality substantially, but now tell me more. And what it is in response to is the famous sloka from the Brahma Stuti, Prayers of Brahma. It says, Gyane prayasa murapasana manta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya bhartam stane stita srutigatam tanuvan manovir ye prayasa jito jito piyasi taistre lokyam. This is Brahma saying, because back in that first sloka it says, Muhyanti Yatsurayaha, even the gods and goddesses are bewildered to properly comprehend and perceive Krishna conception. And then in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Brahma becomes an example in the so-called Brahma Vimohan Leela. Vimohan means bewilderment. So the pastime is known as the bewilderment of Brahma. So, because he misestimated Krishna. So now he's offering his prayers, and they begin with him saying, Gyane prayasamudapasana manteva. Don't try and understand Krishna with your mind and intellect, with the senses, mind, and intellect. But rather, hear from him, from his devotee, from a realized soul. That's what sthanesthita means. Whatever your relative situation is irrelevant. It doesn't matter if you come in connection with the agent. So Mahaprabhu is saying, the fortunate souls in this world of misconception, they come in connection. By Krishna's mercy, they get Guru. By the mercy of Guru, they get Krishna. So they get this connection. And what do they get from Guru? Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed. Bij means seed. The seed of Krishna conception. The seed of devotion. Like in Srila Gurudev's pranam, it says, Krishna Prema Bija Pradam. The seed of Krishna Prem is being given. Then Mahaprabhu tells further to Rupa Goswami that, and then that seed, it sprouts. Bhakti Lata means a creeper. But Bhakti Lata means the seed is planted in the heart of the aspiring devotee, then under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnava, Sadhu Shastra, Guru Vaishnava, then he said it needs to be watered. Like you have some plant, you have to give it some water every day. So he's saying, what are the water? Shravan, Kirtan, hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, smart, remembering Krishna. These things are considered to nurture or water the seed of devotion. Then he says also, like anything that grows here, it's being nourished and watered, but there are some weeds that may be growing. And you have to be conscious of that and eliminate them. Because by your watering, maybe you're watering the wrong, some of the undesirable things, or the weeds that are threatening to choke the growth of the creeper, they may be getting watered in the process also. So anyway, different type of advice is given there. We were discussing this earlier, that in terms of qualification, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, they like to quote one sloka of Rupa Goswami. Just like devotees sometimes have sloka collections, Rupa Goswami also has a sloka collection. And this verse is Akrishti Kritachetasam Sumanasam Uchchatanam Chanasam Atchandala Mukaloka Sulubo Mukti Mukyasya Mukti Sriya No Diksham Natcha Sakriyam Na Purushcharjam Mana Geekshite Mantra Yam Rasanas Prageva Palati Sri Krishna Nama Maka. Very interesting in this verse is No Diksham Natcha Sakriyam. There are no prerequisites for Krishna Nam, just Krishna's will in the background to distribute himself. And regardless of the quality of the soil that the seed of Krishna conception enters, if it's Krishna's divine will, he springs out of that soil. So it's a very encouraging sort of sloka. And Guru Maharaj recounts when he and Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, one of their first substantial meetings was on the Brajamandal Parikrama, and in the Govardhan area. And one night, earlier in the day, the sannyasis told the devotees that we're going to go visit Sheshai Vishnu. And that has some mystical connection to the separation of the Brajagopis. They said, but Prabhupada, meaning Srila Saraswati Thakur, he'll give a class. So Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj were sort of reminiscing, and Swami Maharaj, and I thought, if I go see that deity, what will I see? What's my capacity? So I'm going to stay and hear from Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur. And Guru Maharaj at that time joked, and he said, yeah. And he said, what will I see? Guru Maharaj, he goes, I exercise. Because that was another remark of Saraswati Thakur. When we go before the deity, what is our capacity to see? Rather, we'll be thinking, Krishna's there, I can't fully understand how or know or see him, but we understand the presence of the deity. So I'll present myself before the deity to be seen by him, and that'll be good for me. So anyway, they both stayed to hear Saraswati Thakur. But in an extraordinary way, not only did Guru Maharaj remember staying behind, but he remembers the lecture that Saraswati Thakur gave. gist of what was being said. And he said he gave a very revolutionary conception of Govardhan, in which he told, as in the Gowalas, the cowherds, when they want to make more cows, he said, they don't consider whether like there's a Brahmin cow, a Kshatriya cow, a Vaishya cow, a Shudra cow. Just they have a bull, a potent source, and they make more cows. And we've seen that in our own time. Like there was one cow in Calcutta, Davali, white cow, sort of wandered in off the streets and was taken in by the Mat, by Gurudev's grace, and then later shipped to Navadvip. And then later she gave birth to so many other cows. She became part of the Goshala, so she came from the street. Some of these other cows were very high-class cows from Switzerland and, you know, and cow society, high cow society. But all, there's the potent source, and so what he was saying here, so when Krishna is a cowherd, so when he distributes himself, he's using the method of the cowherds, which is they don't have this consideration of who's qualified, unqualified in terms of varnashram and things like that. And in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which was written, well, actually compiled by Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, where these things are described about initiation. And many things are written there about which time of year, which time of month, which day of the week, which time of the day. And so many things are written there that, and how long the guru should examine the disciple, how long the disciple should examine the guru. And there are many, many enough things there to make your head spin. But at the very end, it says, of all of these prescriptions. It says, but if the qualified guru, if a disciple meets a qualified guru and he's willing to give the initiation, then that's the right time, the right place, the right circumstances. And that's more on the basis of that, the Krishna consciousness movement is expanding. But as I told initially, Guru Maharaj's conception of this is putting yourself under the guidance of superior Vaishnava and taking direction. As we were discussing earlier, again quoting Guru Maharaj, in terms of the conception of Guru, said that will be according to the inner awakenment of the disciple, how they will see Guru. Just as in the Gurvastakam of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshad Hari Tenasamasta Shastri Kastatava Gate Vasadvi Kintu Prabhoya Priya Vitasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. So it's saying in the beginning, Sakshad Hari Tenasamasta Shastri. All the Shastras are saying, understand Gurus, directly Krishna, like in the Bhagavatam, Achar Jam Yam. Charjamam Vijaniya. Krishna is saying, don't see the humanness of the agent. Don't look, make objective, the emphasis on objective observation. Saying, understand my presence. But in this sloka, we're saying, Sakshad Hari, then it says, Kintu Prabhoya Priya Yavatasya. But on a finer analysis, a finer examination, a closer examination, a shift will take place from seeing Guru as Krishna's agent. The shift will take place to Krishna's potency. That means Prabhu Priya, the one who is most dear to Krishna. And therefore, the shift in its highest sense of interpretation, it shifts to Radharani. So those in this line, they see Guru as Radharani's delegated representation. As Guru Maharaj has said, all service to Krishna is being transacted through her. So necessarily, Guru concept reaches its zenith and being understood as Radharani's delegation, like a hierarchy of servitors. So the ultimate aspiration of those in this line has been said to be Radha Dasyam, that Krishna, the service of Krishna, when you refine it and make it something more specific, it takes the shape and color of Radha Dasyam. Once Srila Guru Maharaj heard Saraswati Thakur giving a talk in Puri, and in Guru Maharaj's estimation, he was talking about something very high. And while that was being done, someone came and asked Saraswati Thakur, for maybe some money, you have to buy things for the mat and for the service of the deities. And they came and asked him for that. And he was happy to break his talk and become engaged in that. And Guru Maharaj was a little disturbed, and he said, I don't understand. Guru Maharaj was speaking about something so high, and then they interrupted him for something relatively, by comparison, trivial. And he said, then it was explained to him that Radharani, and this is a word I don't know if you know, but it's major domo. You know major domo? I think it's a Spanish word. But it means the head lady of the household is the major domo. So he said, of Krishna Leela and Krishna Sarah, Radharani is the major domo. She's doing everything. So Saraswati Thakur, as her delegated representative, no matter how trivial that service was, he was very happy to engage in that seva. And rather, he didn't want it to escape him. So even though the talk was supposed to be very high, he was very happy to do that seva. So, and on the concept of seva, Srila Guru Maharaj has also given this comparison. He said that it appears as sometimes that the position of guru guru is one of mastership. Said rather, he's the servant of the disciples, just as a pujari takes some fruit and cleanses the fruit, peels it and makes it fit to be offered to the deity. Think so. The guru's seva is to cleanse the disciple through instruction and make them fit for service. So, those are some things to consider. From the disciple perspective, the famous sloka in Gita is there, Tadvidi Prinipatena Paripasnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyaninas Tatvadarshina, about making our approach. Sometimes people will say, why in India or the Eastern world or in Krishna consciousness is there so much bowing down? Why are people always bowing down? And the Western mentality is sometimes expressed, we don't bow down to anyone. We don't bow down to any man or woman or anyone like that. This type of haughty, arrogance. But Guru Maharaj explains it in this way. We're taking what's generally considered the highest aspect of ourselves, like the head, and bowing it to the feet, to the lowest aspect of the upper world. And that's the meaning of pranipatena. Right? This, here, I have some experience of this world, and how to navigate it, and who I am, and what is my place in it. I'm through with that. And I'm placing that highest aspect, what's generally considered to be the highest aspect of myself, to the least position of the upper world. I'm surrendering it to that. I'm through with the experience of this world, and now asking for exclusively spiritual direction. sometimes they call it cutting a one-way ticket. Like we know when you go for the air, you have a one-way ticket and a round-trip ticket. This is a one-way ticket. But again, Krishna conception being allowed to enter the heart. That's what it is about, mainly. Embracing that prospect. It's understood that our faith is weak and undeveloped. So we're advised, sadhu sangha satovari, seek out superior association and allow the conception to grow and develop. So that means it has to come through proper conceptualization from a proper source. Any other question?
In connection with the first question, I don't fully understand why Guru is considered to be a representative of the Karani.
Okay.
Can you explain?
Yes. So, as we told, I'll give another example from Guru Maharaj. This way, it'll help you understand. Like, the highest peak of the Himalayas is Everest. And you could see that from the greatest distance. See, but focusing on Everest, say you begin to make your approach, the proof or the evidence that you're coming in closer connection with Everest will be realized when you encounter, there's so many peaks surrounding Everest. So there's Krishna. Krishna conception. So from a remote position, we conceive of Krishna alone. But as we start making our approach, we'll realize Krishna is not alone. Rather, there's Radha and Krishna. And there's Lalita and Vishakha, Rupa and Rati, Nanda and Yashoda, Sridham, Sudham, Subal. That there's, it's Krishna conception is a system. So, in terms of serving Krishna and interacting with Krishna, individually, what is our capacity? Right? We're finite jiva souls. Krishna is the, you know, ocean of rasa, akila rasamrita murti. So, what is the capacity of a tiny finite soul to interact with Him? So, we're advised to take shelter of what's called Asraya Vigraha. That's another way of describing Guru. It means the shelter-giving personality. So, even in the spiritual world, there are Gurus of different rasas and positions, and seva. And so everyone is taking shelter and taking direction from them. Right? So, that's why we talk. In the beginning, we're seeing mainly Krishna, or we're told upon a closer examination, you come nearer, you'll see the shift goes to the potency of Krishna. So Radharani, she's transacting all service to Krishna. We're aspiring servitors of Krishna. We need to come under her direction to realize that. Some examples given in the scripture comparing the position of Radha and Krishna to the sun and sunlight. Like sun has heat and light. So, we cannot, and in the Sangha Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we cannot conceive or see the sun without sunlight. So, he's saying here, we can't conceive of Krishna without Radharani. She's the one who's illuminating Krishna conception. She's revealing Krishna conception. In another place, Guru Maharaj said, Radharani is, faith is the halo of Radharani. And I was mentioning before this verse of Brahma, actual first verse of that chapter says, Nomijite Brahmabhuse Taridambaraya. So the first thing Brahma says is, actually, you're Shyama Sundar. It's this inconceivable black beauty. He said, but very difficult to see. But Taridambaraya, Tadit means lightning, and Ambar means dress. He's saying, but you're wearing this lightning-colored dhoti, so even though you're blackish and difficult to see, by wearing the dress, the lightning yellow dress, that provides contrast and we can see you. So Guru Maharaj says that dress, metaphorically speaking, it's a representation of his potency. And it's the color of Radharani, which is golden, lightning-colored golden. So he's saying, what's really being said here? Yes, Krishna is difficult to conceive, but when he's dressed in his potency, which means Radharani and her extensions, then Krishna can be seen. So this is it's the open secret, or it's the mystery of Krishna consciousness. As I pointed out before, Krishna, and for the sake of argument, Krishna is not Krishna conscious. Right? We want to cultivate Krishna consciousness. He's Adi Purusham Govinda. He's the supreme male, the supreme enjoyer. Who is Radharani? She is Krishnamayi. She is full of Krishna. She's full of Krishna consciousness. Guru Maharaj, in the beginning of the Pranajivanamritam, he has one slogan in praise of Mahaprabhu. It says, Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. The Guru Rupa of Krishna is Gauranga. He means to say, when Krishna becomes Guru and he wants to teach Krishna consciousness, he becomes Gauranga. And who is Gauranga? Krishna having taken the position of Radharani. Saying, if you want to really know what Krishna consciousness is, look in Sri Guru's grace. You'll see the sloka of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. It says, Govinda Balabhe Radhe Prate Tomahom Sada. The way Guru Maharaj said it, you want to connect, Krishna saying, you want a connection with me? That's not my department. See her. Govinda Balabha. I'm Govinda, she's Govinda Balabha. And we know, in this world too, like sometimes you want to see a very important person, the president, prime minister, some big man, you know. He says, see my secretary, I don't know, I can't even make an appointment for you with me. I mean, that's a crude example, but there's some truth in that. So, and again, think of it in terms of extracting. Saraswati Thakur is saying, Krishna is not God alone. See, we're a little bit haunted by Judeo-Christian ideas about divinity. You have the male God and there's no female in sight. That's not Krishna conception. So Saraswati Thakur is saying, Radha and Krishna together are the supreme absolute truth. He's the predominating half, she's the predominated half, like positive and negative, and they're mutually complementary. So if Krishna, he's Rasaraj, as we're told, but Radharani is sometimes called Mahabal. We're saying Krishna is this ocean of rasa, of joy, ecstasy, beauty, charm, sweetness, etc. But who can extract that? And you say, well, I want to go directly to Krishna without anyone intervening. That can be done, but then you can come away with this much. And that, a drop of the infinite is infinite. But Radharani, she can extract the highest sort of rasa from Krishna. So she's called Mahabhavsvarupini Radha Thakurani. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they think, what is beyond the constitutional capacity of a jiva soul to experience, to taste, to to feel, to relish, to realize. She can give that. So they're rather thinking, we're promoting Radharani. She's the one who can satisfy Krishna the most because she's his equal in every way. And I like, in English, there's this expression, sometimes the wife is called the better half in a relationship. All the women go, yeah, so corny. You thought we didn't know that? We've always known that. So the wife, the woman, she's called the better half. So as inconceivable as it may sound, Radharani is Krishna's better half. She's the sweetness of Krishna personified as his female counterpart. So she, and she possesses the ability to totally attract and bewilder Krishna. Sometimes with reference to Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare, which we know indicates Radharani, but another meaning of it is the stealer. So we know Krishna's famous as a thief, butter thief, chitta hari, consciousness thief, stealing something whenever there's opportunity. But he's saying Radharani has the capacity to steal Krishna, to steal his mind. That's why when Mahaprabhu enters the Vrindavan forest, when he was in Puri, he was in inconceivable ecstasy. On his way to Vrindavan, going in the direction of Vrindavan, anticipating it, that ecstasy increased 100 times. When he was actually in the forest of Vrindavan, it increased hundreds of thousands of times. So we can't properly conceive that, but in his divine madness, he would be there, and the animals coming up, cows licking him, out of affection, the trees bending over, offering fruits, crying tears, and Mahaprabhu would sit there, and two parrots fly under his hand. One parrot flies here, the other parrot there, named Sukh and Shari, a female parrot and a male parrot. And the male parrot starts, they're not ordinary parrots, the parrot starts glorifying Krishna, saying how Krishna's, reality of the beautiful, he's so beautiful, so charming, he's Madan Mohan, he bewilders Cupid. And then the female parrot saying, but only when Radharani is at his side, otherwise he's bewildered by Cupid. For her. And they're going back having this sort of dialogue on the fingers, and Mahaprabhu is relishing that. But the female parrot, she wins the argument, saying, Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. He's, Madan means Cupid, Mohan means the bewilderer of Cupid. But she's saying, no, but Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini, that one who bewilders Cupid with all of his beauty, she's bewildering him with her beauty, her sweetness, her loving, devotional heart. So she is the ultimate personification of Krishna consciousness. And Mahaprabhu, who's Radha Bhava, Duti Suvalita, Krishna enriched with the heart and halo of Radharani. Even Krishna admits it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that what she's experiencing, what is inside her, is greater than what I experience. How much? By 10 million times. That's Krishna's estimation. So we can't even begin to properly conceive of who is Radharani. So she's the Ujjvala Rasa Acharya. That's in the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. She's the Acharya. So Krishna, when we say Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurabaha, Bahunam Janmanam Mante Gyanavan Mam Prapajate. That's just overcoming the influence of the mundane, the first glance of the spiritual world, the first personal aspect of the personality of Godhead that comes forward is Vasudeva, means Krishna without his potency. So that, we understand now from spiritual experts, is a distant view. It's Krishna, but from a distance. But up close and personal means Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, etc. So those aspiring servitors in the Rupa Nuga line, they recognize this. That Krishna Moyi, Radharani, she's full of Krishna. And so much so, Guru Maharaj says that it's as if wherever she glances, Krishna appears. Sometimes when we first hear Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta, what is it? Radhika Sarvatani. It will be rendered as wherever she looks, she sees Krishna. But that's not how Guru Maharaj explains it. He's saying wherever she glances, Krishna manifests. That's Radharani. So when Krishna tried to deceive the Braja Gopis for some fun, he will remove him, hide from them, so that their hearts will become more excited, filled with anxiety, deeper spiritual emotions and separation. So he's hiding from them, and then they saw him hiding in the kunja. So they start approaching him. Krishna thought, oh, he pushed out two more arms, became four-armed Narayan. And when the gopis get close, they go, oh, oh, namo Narayan. They're respectful, but their hearts, it says, rago daya kunchati, means their hearts were disappointed. And they said, have you seen Krishna? Do you know where he is? But then we're told Krishna tried to do the same trick to Radharani, push out two more arms. Then when Radharani would look at him, the two arms would go away. And he could only be Krishna. So, and Krishna is very unpredictable and crooked by nature. Can see it in his posture. And once I remember in Sokel, Srila Gurudev talking about chanting on the Tulsi Mala. He said, if we chant, take the name of Krishna on the Tulsi Mala, then we have some hope. He said, because maybe I did something wrong and Krishna doesn't like me. He said that. He said, but if I take hold the, he didn't say chant the Tulsi Mala, he said, but meaning chanting on the Tulsi Mala, he said, if I hold the lotus feet of Tulsi Devi, that's how he said it. Not if I chant on the Tulsi bead, but if I hold her lotus feet and take the name of Krishna, then I may be successful. He said, otherwise maybe Krishna is upset with me. I did something wrong. He doesn't like me. So Narottam Thakur in another place says, Asraya Loya Bhaje Tare, and then Krishna Nahi Tyaje, you know the rest? Akarane More, whatever. What he says is, devotees take shelter of a devotee of Krishna. That's the guarantee to connecting with Krishna. And again, who's made this determination? Krishna. Adi Purana to Arjuna. Those who say they're my devotees, they're not my real devotees. They're not my substantial devotees. Who are my real devotees? Who are the devotees of my devotees? So many different places this is indicated. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is arguably the book of Krishna, presents, it's been described as the body of Krishna, the 10th canto being the sweet smiling face of Krishna, and so many things. But Guru Maharaj, in his famous sloka, is written, Yadaniyam mahima sri bhagavatam katayam prati patam anubhutam apya labdavideya tad akila rasa murti shamalila avalambam madura rasa di sri radha parapadmam pravadye. Saying, really, what is the purpose of this book? To take you to the service of the lotus feet of Radharani. That's the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of Krishna conception. And there, as indicated by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, specifically describing the glories of Mahaprabhu, says, yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeta bhaktin krita punya rasi tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmat radha padamboja sudambu rasi. And if you'll concentrate now to get to the matter at hand, Guru and Gauranga, if you'll concentrate on the service of Mahaprabhu, says, then automatically, subconsciously, deep within the core of your heart, tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmat radha padambu, the service of the lotus feet of Radharani, because Radha Rasa Shudhaniri, that will rise in the heart, and through this method, you'll get entrance into Vrindavan. So, Guru Maharaj compared it to a machine. He said, where you put the money on this side, like you put your coin in, and then the ticket comes out here. So you put your coin, your serving capital, in the service of the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. He said, and then you get your ticket for Vrindavan. And why did Mahaprabhu come to, what is it? Radha Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janatake. To reveal the glories of Radharani to the world. Right? It doesn't say, and he came down to tell us what a great enjoyer Krishna is. That we already knew from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Krishna, he decides to descend in this world and tell everyone how great Radharani is and how nothing compares to her love. And through that love, it can be extended to everyone. He said, there's nothing, I know the value of everything. I'm Krishna, I know the value of everything. And I'm telling you, there is nothing more valuable than the substance that is within her heart, and I'm going to distribute it to everyone. That's his idea. So therefore, he says, Mahavananaya Avatar. There's nothing that compares to this. Sweetness came before in Krishna Lila. But Odarja, the magnanimous distribution of that sweetness, that came from Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani. And once I was in Vrindavan, and the mayor of Vrindavan once came to our mat, and we respectfully received him, and his descendants remembered that. And so I was talking to his son. And, you know, they're highly respected. They're the Radharaman Goswamis. And I had just been with Srila Guru Maharaj. And we're in Vrindavan. But somehow in this conversation, this point came about Vrindavan being Madhurja, the land of sweetness, and Navadvip being Odarja. And so where it's superior for the, especially the conditioned souls, because Vrindavan's for the highest section of liberated souls, and Guru said that for the liberated, non-liberated section will find that their wealth in Navadvip. So I was just sort of sharing, excited and sharing with him, and I said, because I just heard Guru say that, said, every atom of Navadvip is capable of giving Vrindavan in full. And he said to me, are you a disciple of Sridhar Maharaj? Yes, and he said, then I can understand why. So Guru Maharaj would go so far as to say, like, he was attracted to Krishna consciousness, the base of the first sacrifice of Ramachandra, that kind of detached sacrifice. And even Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, according to Vishwanath, they say this, when they're saying, we're not fit parents, they're saying, Ramachandra's, he was fit. Why? Because at the thought, when he heard he'll be separated from Ramachandra, he died immediately. Is it Dasaraths or
his father.
His father.
Right.
They're saying, that's a parent. He's going to be separated, died, couldn't go on living. And look at us. And really, they're reflecting the sentiments of Radharani expressed by Mahaprabhu in Na prema gandasti dharapi mehuro kundami sobhagya param prakashitam. I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, what to speak of a drop. And how can, and what's the proof that I go on living, that I didn't die in separation from you? Radharani's begging, forgiveness from when Krishna. That's another story. When Krishna's begging her forgiveness and going to touch her feet, and she's, "What are you doing?" She says, "I am the offender. I didn't die in separation from you." So, why did I say that? Oh, because so Guru Maharaj, he would say openly, his attraction to Radharani and Mahaprabhu. He said, not so much Krishna, because Krishna is an enjoyer and so many other things. And then he was around 92 at the time, he said. But recently, recently, I'm feeling some attraction to Krishna. He said, because I know that if you want to be in Radharani's group, obviously you have to like Krishna. And have some appreciation. So, see, when we say, the devotee will rightfully say, without guru, without, what do we know of Krishna? That means, and who is guru? With their, her delegated representatives. So on Guru Day's Vyas Puja one year, in his presence, quoting Guru, and I said, so how guru-centric are we? How dependent are we upon Guru and Vaishnava for guidance? And said that if Krishna himself comes before us, you know, he's like, yoga, yes, you know. And you say, there's someone at the door who looks like Krishna, says he's Krishna, and I mean really looks like Krishna. But we look to Guru for verification. We don't know otherwise. And when I said that, we're so dependent that if Krishna himself comes, we'll ask Guru, is this Krishna? And Gurudev went, yes, that's the way we are. So, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the Krishna of Krishnas, right? The Avatar Sar, and Guru Maharaj's word, he's at the right hand of Radharani. When he's at the side of another gopi, you're dealing with Swayam Prakash, or there, Rupa Goswami describes these things in great deal. But, and look, in this world, we all experience this in various levels, and people voice this sentiment at different times of the day, you know, talking about when they can really be themselves. In whose association can you really be yourself? So, in Ramachandra, in that pastime, there's some niti, moral, social considerations. That's why the heartbreak of Sita being banished and other things, but it has this particular place in that lila. But there's constraints in Vaikuntha, and different, I mean, there's a good side to all of that, and then there's something, for a certain group, disappointing about it. Like Gopa Kumar. So, Krishna, we can say this, he's only fully himself in the presence of Radharani. And not only that, we could go so far as to say, he's only fully himself as he is to the extreme when he's alone with Radharani. And that's where something inconceivable, an inconceivable prospect transpires, because we're told the Rupa Nuga line, those friends of Radharani, Sakhi, they're being of a similar age, they add a different dynamic to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So they can't fully be themselves in their presence. But when they're alone, they can be, and the Rupa junior group, due to their being junior in age, they can enter at that time and not disturb the sentiments. So we can't speak any more of this. It's very high. It's the highest thing. It's beyond what we could ever imagine. But it's what someone becomes connected with, knowingly or unknowingly, when they connect with this line and our Guru Varga, and more specifically, the line of Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, like that. That's what we're being connected to. So the kirtan of Mahaprabhu is the rasa-lila in distribution mode. So we have not realized these things, but we've heard these things from Srila Guru Maharaj. He has a proper estimation of what this is, and as his agents, we're connecting people to that plane, and as he told, your future prospect is inconceivable. But these are some of the indications of what it is. So that he concludes that Bhaktivinoda Sloka saying, Sri Radha Padasevanamitam Aho. Tadato Isha Bhavam. Aho is like, oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is your gift to the world. And obviously this is something very high, and we don't want to commit offenses talking about it too much. But when he identified that this is what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's gift to the world in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, Saraswati Thakur said, what I came to give, someone got it. At least one man got what I want to give. I want to give the wealth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here it's clearly indicated. Someone's received it and expressed it perfectly. So I'm happy. I'll leave the world soon, but now I know someone got what I wanted to give, and that is Sridhar Maharaj. And that's the line of the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, where it has unique wealth that is incomparable. And so we are all happy and fortunate to have some connection with that. And whether we understand this much or that much, or by the grace of the Guru Varga, have a glimpse from time to time, you think that's our good fortune. But those, you know, it's Guru Maharaj himself and Srila Gurudev, who can identify this divine substance and give proper expression to that and sanction connections to that service plane. So,
I remember one day Navadeep Maharaj, he said, after hearing, he was trying to find the verse of Chakravarti Thakur or something. He couldn't remember it, and then he came up with the rest of the verse, and Gurudev went, "Bah! At least one man has got my Guru Maharaj's conception. Perfect."
Hare Krishna.
That was very sweet.
I said to Guru Maharaj once, paraphrasing something in the Charitamrita, I said to Mahabhuta, "I am a young sannyasi, I don't know right from wrong." I said, "I don't even know what to ask you. Maharaj, who am I to even ask you questions? They're not even the proper questions." But Guru Maharaj is always saving the situation. He told about how Mahaprabhu upgraded Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's considered sadhan siddha, brihaspati, descends, becomes Sarvabhauma, is upgraded to Gaura-lila. But anyway, so Sarvabhauma, he tells Mahaprabhu, visit Ramananda and on your tour of South India. And when Mahaprabhu comes back, with the exception of Ramananda, he says to Sarvabhauma, "Sarvabhauma, I just toured the whole of South India. It's supposed to be the most religious part of the country, leading thinkers of different lines of thought." He goes, "I didn't find a devotee of your caliber. I didn't find anyone like you." And Guru Maharaj said, "Mahaprabhu is indirectly glorifying himself." He's saying, because what is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? He's Mahaprabhu's creation. So that's how we shall feel, that if there's something good in us, that's the creation of our Gurudev. And like Gurudev says in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita, and if there are any flaws, I take responsibility for that part. But the other part, if you perceive something good, that was, they're responsible for that. Hare Krishna. That's what Gurudev called it, Guru Maharaj's throwing potency. That if he throws something to you, it goes in you and you have this epiphany. Then it seems like something that was always understood or known or... But before that moment, not. So I'm just saying this, when Guru Maharaj, like we sometimes would go with our gurus on program, house program, to some grihasthas, they're invited over and you may accompany or play the drum, sing the song. So Saraswati Thakur went to some grihasthas' house and Guru Maharaj was the attendant. It wasn't with a big group of devotees. And so that night, Saraswati Thakur gave this extraordinary talk about, I just call it the Satyam Sloka from the 10th canto. Satyam, Satyam, Satyasva. It uses the word Satya around 10 times. Never committed it to memory. But anyway, it was an extraordinary talk, and Guru Maharaj started thinking, like, he didn't have a pen or how to record that. So then he thought, "I'll go get pen and paper, but if I do that, then I'm going to miss something." So he was torn. Should I go get the pen and paper, or should I stay in here? And he chose to stay in here. And then afterwards, Saraswati Thakur said, like, "Did you get that?" And Guru Maharaj said, "No." And Saraswati Thakur said, "Then you are a Gobar Ganesh." Gobar means cow dung. Ganesh, he's the rider. So he's saying, "You're a Ganesh made out of cow dung, like useless." He's chastising him. "You're a Gobar Ganesh." And Guru Maharaj said, but it was so extraordinary what you were saying. I couldn't leave. And Saraswati Thakur said, yes, it was extraordinary, and I would like to hear it again. Myself. It was that extraordinary. I'd like to hear it. And then Guru Maharaj said, two things appeared to him. One was that he said, I felt bad that I didn't do the seva of recording the talk. He said, but I actually felt really good inside too, because he said, when he was giving something really high and wonderful and extraordinary, I could recognize that. He said, so about that I felt good, that I could recognize how wonderful it is what he's giving. So, Hare Krishna. That's what we'll think. If we have the good fortune to appreciate some of the wealth of our Guru Bhargava, then we'll think, well, that I can appreciate that. I mean, there must be something good in me somewhere. It's a merciful extension of the grace of Sri Guru. That's what it is. And that goes back to the original question. That's what Krishna consciousness is. That's what initiation is, the merciful extension of grace from Sri Guru.